Okay, so first of all, for anybody doing code reviews, including myself, are FishEye Crucible instances down? I've been messing with it a little bit and haven't been able to figure it out yet. I think there's a cache corruption problem, but I'm really not sure. So for the time being, I think the easiest sort of lightweight way to check into some of these change set is that link on the agenda. So Asger, I know you're listening. When I take a look at you've got the two outstanding branches. I'll just have to look at it through that just to get a sort of cursory view of what's going on in those branches. And just to confirm, we haven't had any configuration changes on the FishEye instance, right?
No, nor anything else on the server.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on to the fun stuff. So before we get into the documentation and test plan, I thought we could go through the most important items, make sure we're still on track to go into code freeze today. So we had a nice round of commits in the last hour, I noticed, myself included. But if you go to that link, you should see the whole list of items for 3.3. And I thought we could just maybe walk through these and see where we're at. If things are unresolved at this point, whether we're going to just move forward without them or what. So starting top down, I guess, Eddie, I saw that you had a check-in for the Fezzle stuff, right?
Yeah, but this is pretty limited at this point. What I'm basically, since there wasn't really a convenient way to preserve all the SVN history and stuff from the Miradora project, I mean, I didn't really want to go through the whole SVN dump filter process. I'm just grabbing a current snapshot of that trunk, and I'm dropping it into our trunk at the moment, just so we have at least that. And then once that's finished checking in, I'll start checking in my change set on top of that. So it's definitely, I mean, you know, just to, I mean, if this is, I know this is a little premature at this point in the call, but anyway, I mean, this is clearly not going to make it for today anyway, if we're trying to do a code freeze for today. So,
that's it. That's good for the status on that for now. I think we'll go through the rest of the items and make sure there's no other sort of showstoppers and see where maybe we can talk about later. So Asker had the issue FC repo 585, which was to review the REST documentation against the REST code. So this was just pointing out that at least the add empty object functionality Asker discovered was already there. And we wanted to make sure that the documentation accurately reflected what was going on with the code. So Asker reports that's not done yet. So Asker's the assignee on this, but at this point, I think this isn't a code issue, right? I mean, if we find a defect in the REST API during testing, then that's one thing. Or if we find it in reviewing the code. But for now, I think as long as we just sort of lump this in task-wise with the documentation, I don't think this holds up the code freeze itself. And I think, we'll get into the documentation stuff later, but this is also linked under the documentation plan that Kai put together. All Okay, stabilize the REST API. So I'll just report a little status on this one. The item I just checked in this morning was etc repo 523, which is a subtask of this. And for folks who've been watching the tracker mailing list, I've been posting my thoughts sort of along the way. But in the end, what I finally did was I went back to what we had originally discussed on this in terms of the solution. So it was just basically making sure it's producing the right status code and making sure that the response that comes back in either case is the latest version of the data stream XML profile. So this is done. I have tests checked in. And that was really the last thing that was outstanding on this issue, except for we now have a dependency on FC repo 585, which is still just a documentation issue at this point. So I think we're good to go on this one too. Eddie, on FC repo 396, another one. I noticed there were some check-ins on this.
Hold on, let me follow along here. Oh, yeah, that one. So that's, I mean, the Tomcat 6 integration's been checked in. I didn't have a chance to do any testing against Jetty, however. So that's, I think I noted that in the comments before closing this, that it just needs to get tested.
I have tested that against Jetty last week. And there was one problem with the image manip web application. There's some class loading going on, and for some reason the one class couldn't be loaded. It seems to be a path issue, but I haven't tested it with your patch, Eddie.
Maybe it works now. Did you have that running one of these standard integration tests, or did you hit that doing something else?
No, it was one of the integration tests.
Okay. There was the issues around commons logging, but those are all settled now, as far as I can tell. If you have a chance to run, if you're already sort of set up to run another Jetty test, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll have to see if I can get around to it. I don't actually know from this from the Jira issue which version of Jetty was in question. I'm guessing it's just the latest one. But I mean, because I know we've tested with Jetty in the past. But
So this was the only issue Kai had noticed so far was the image manip. Is that right, Kai?
Yeah, that was an issue. I've used the latest Jetty version, but I'll be reproducing this, so soon.
Yeah, just as a heads up, I mean, what I saw was in both of the image manip and Saxon wars, and it was just because of, as noted here, I think commons logging related problems, and that's just because in Tomcat 6, they package renamed commons logging to Julie. But the other thing was that the logs, the error messages that were going to standard out, weren't really very helpful, and I just happened to notice that the WebXML for both of those web apps is for like the 2.2 servlet spec, and when I bumped those up, I also noticed the error messages became much more informative, which was kind of odd, but whatever. But yeah, if you have a chance to run another test with the latest chickens, that'd be great.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so we'll keep this open for now, and maybe something that can be fixed or at least verified in the testing process. So the other one that's on this list is update Mulgara to 214, Eddie.
Yeah, and that's almost entirely just getting the right artifacts into the Nexus repository. So I think I checked on that again with my improved permissions, and that didn't improve anything from my standpoint. So I'm just going to have to do it slowly. Like, I was trying to do it so that, because I'd already set up all the transitive dependency in the stuff that I was producing. So it's sort of better than what we have currently, but I thought there was a cleaner way to get it into Nexus, but there doesn't seem to be. So I think if I just spend like an hour or two playing with Nexus, I'll get all the different pieces and dependencies in correctly. There's really almost nothing to change in the code. It's just going to be the palm pointing to the dependencies, and actually I can probably remove some dependencies.
Okay. Is this one coupled with the other trippy change? There was another issue related to trippy.
Yeah, well, basically there was the fix that Ben did, and then I, and he'd committed that to trippy, and then I updated Mulgara and trippy, and I've already cut a new release. So it's basically just getting the new artifacts into Maven, into our Maven, and then updating the palms. That's the repo accordingly.
Okay.
So there's actually no code change involved for it's just going to be changes to the palms into the Maven repository.
Yeah. Okay. This one makes me think that I think we may want to give a little time before we have people kick off and start doing real testing. And this is one of those things that I think would be, you know, if we discovered some sort of problem, it would be more convenient, I think, if this were in there before we began testing. As you said, it's just a couple hours or so. So I'm kind of thinking this one would be something that maybe we wait on. I mean, we wait till it's done to really start kicking off formally with the testing. I don't know whether that means code freeze officially begins or not before it happens, but I just kind of wanted to get an overview of where we're at with everything before talking about the process at large. There were two other branches I know of that aren't on this list, but Asker has asked for a review of FC repo 579 and 586. And I think these might be on this list. 586. Okay, no, it doesn't have a version specified. So 579 and 586. So these were both about creating or modifying the SOAP API. One of them was to have a method for creating a new object without any content. And the other one was to add data stream by value. So Asger is pointing out that they aren't so simple.
Okay, can you hear me now? If you can hear me now,
yeah.
I can speak.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what changed, and if it's noisy, I'll go offline again. Muted again afterwards. They're not so simple to integrate. I think the merging will be easy, but they add new SOAP methods. That's fine. But they do it by adding new methods to the underlying management interface, which is the correct way to do it. But that means adding new methods to the XACML system. Because you need to be able to make rules about these new API methods like the old ones. And that could open holes, or and it wouldn't invalidate, but it could, if people had some odd rules like disallow all these functions that are editing, that are able to edit objects, then I add a new function that can edit an object, then they have an insecurity. Did that come across?
That makes sense. So if they, if in their security policy they iterate, well, if they assume in their policy that disallowing, you know, ingest in its current form is adequate to disallow other or to disallow any kind of ingest or creation of objects, then they would have to be informed. I mean, I don't see that itself as being like anytime we add a new API method, it seems like we have to consider that fact, and people need to know about it for updating policies. The one thing I was a little concerned about with these was if there was an effect on the Bezel integration, and I mean it's fairly late to be adding stuff to the Bezel integration, but we did want to make sure once that when that initially got put in place that it did have good coverage of the API. So, Eddie, can you speak to that at all?
Yeah, I mean it's gonna require some code changes in Bezel to reflect to reflect these changes in Bezel. I actually haven't had a chance to look to see how much effort that is. I kind of don't think it's too much effort, but with all the other work that still is being done, it's kind of a wrench the last minute too.
I think we should ask the question on these. I think they're good convenience methods to have, but are we hearing from anybody that this is something that they're really after, or is it, with the 3.3 release, or was this kind of a design consistency thing? I guess add data stream by value is currently just reflecting the fact that you pretty much have to do modifies by reference you have to do adds by reference today, whereas modifies allow you to do it by value or by reference.
Yeah, it's an odd inconsistency or asymmetry. A use for it, it prevents you from having to use the upload function when doing XML data streams. Could people work around it easily? Most people do work around it at the moment. About the create new object, it's also a convenience method. You can easily ingest a simple empty object. The idea about it, where it could be useful, is that you could disallow people to ingest objects, but allowing them to create empty objects, and thus have more of a control about what data structures they can create in their objects. But I don't feel strongly for them having to go into 3.3, and if they make it more difficult with Festool, and they risk postponing the code freeze, or more seriously, risk us losing some of Kai's time. I know his time is limited. Then I think they can wait.
Okay. I'm inclined to say that they should probably wait now too. I mean, it seems like, you know, we've gone through several of the issues that are outstanding. I guess to me the biggest one that I think we need to wait for before testing is probably the Mulgara update. Let's see. Just looking at the other stuff, Fezzle, to me, Fezzle isn't integrated with the build, and I assume, Eddie, that it's not going to be for 3.3, but the source code will be in there, so it'll be part of the source distribution, and there will be something about what it produces that makes it easy to plug in. Is that
right? Actually, I was still planning to get the integration into the installer as the option, but I didn't get it in as planned, but I guess I was kind of hoping to hear what people thought about it. It is only changes to the installer, and it does stand pretty well apart from the rest of any other code path. So it's sort of a call that has to be made.
So if it is only, so the assumption is the default option of plugging in security for now is the existing stuff.
Right.
And then the code change that would be made at some later point would allow us to just plug this in automatically as part of the install. So, it seems like we can easily verify that that code change works or doesn't later in the process. As long as it doesn't touch other bits of the server code, I'm pretty comfortable with that myself. We're going to want to maybe push out testing Fezzle as part of our test process to later in the testing cycle. But, seems like all the code paths for the majority of the testing are going to stay exactly the same.
Right.
Anybody else have thoughts on that one? Okay. I'm going to assume that's a... we're okay with it. So I think we should go ahead and, Asger, as much as I'd like to, it seems like the test process can probably begin shortly after the Mulgara stuff is checked in, which ideally we start the testing process as soon after this call as we can. But we still have some prep work to do on the testing. We have to allocate who's doing what, and I don't expect that we'll make all those decisions on this call. So there is a window before we really kick off into full gear on doing the testing, where the Mulgara stuff could come in. Eddie, you think that could come in I don't know what your sleep schedule is like.
I'm actually optimistic that I can just do this after the call. So,
okay. Okay.
I've got some other stuff in the wings with the Fezzle stuff, but I can just reprioritize and get from your the Mulgara stuff in first.
Okay. And I was thinking I wanted to run this idea by Kai, but I guess I was thinking that after we assess people's availability to help out with testing in docs, that that we go ahead and that Kai and I talk after the call a little bit about who can do what, and then we'll come up with the assignments and then send them out to people so that everybody's got a pretty clear idea. Those of us that are available, which aspects they're going to be testing. So I was thinking maybe, you know, while you're finishing that up, Kai and I can be talking about who's doing what. And I think ideally we'll just wait for that check-in to come in from you and then officially kick it off.
Okay.
So the question is also, can we maintain the release date?
Yeah, so this is something I didn't realize, but the EU meeting is scheduled right now to be the day after the release, right?
Right.
But
several
people are traveling out there near the end of the week or the end of the code freeze cycle. So given the fact, like, if we push it out just without regard to people's schedules at all, given the fact that, let's say, we start code freeze, 18 hours from now, then that effectively pushes us out 2 days from where we originally thought we were going to start code freeze. So that gives us 3 days, three business days to test and doc. So that feels pretty tight to me. I'd rather push it out if we can afford the time, if it's going to help. But I wasn't sure what the EU meaning, whether pushing it out would really give us that many more hours of people's time.
Well,
who else going on?
I mean, a meeting is just the 1 day. Although the thing is, they did set it up in such a way that it's sort of abuts other meetings. So I don't know if anyone else is going to any of the other ones. I mean, I'm just going to the 1 day.
Yeah, I'll be there the whole week.
I'm just going to the 1 day, I'll be gone 3 days. 1 day for traveling each way.
We've got before and after. And Kai already let me know about this. So, like, I figured if we had to release while Kai was out during this, then I could certainly do it, do the physical moving of the files. But I'm just thinking, if it now sounds like the day before release, we're not going to have very much, if any, of Kai and Asger's time. I don't know about you, Eddie. The day before.
Yeah, I'm actually sure. I mean, I'm going to lose a day either way on travel. Well, most of a day.
I know Steve is going to be out too. Up until that day. Pull up a calendar here. Certainly not going to be too big of an issue if it buys us some extra time to push it out a couple of days. So we right now have the 7th is the planned day, right?
So I'm traveling on the 7th because there was no other way to get to Oxford in time. So I'm going to be there in Oxford by 10 a.m. GMT, and I hope that I can get a stable internet connection, but it troubles me a little bit. So.
Yeah.
From my point of view, a different release day would certainly be much better.
Yeah.
Kai. Kai, a few calls ago, we discussed or we asked you about how long you could stay as release manager if we pushed the release date. That might be relevant now.
Until the end of December and possibly January, but I can't say really much about that.
So, as far as my availability, I'm not really going to be available Friday. So I would be available the 9th or 10th, and then the next week is filled with travel for all Duraspace folks. And then, of course, after that is many of us are out for Christmas vacation, holiday vacation. So I think one option is to push it out just a couple days to where we do a release on the 10th. And that would give us really a full week of testing, and several of us wouldn't be available on the 7th through the 9th anyway. So that would be, that would certainly give me extra time to kick in on some outstanding testing items, and would give us all, Kai, if we released like on the 10th, would you be around that day or?
I'll still be in Oxford on that conference, but...
Oh, you will be?
Yeah, I don't know if I can make it.
So if we release the next week, I mean, another option is to go to just push it all the way out to the next week, which for me would mean I can't participate much in the final part of the release. That's okay by me. It just, I want to make sure I'm available if anything comes up. I mean,
even the end of the week, Chris, like maybe the 18th on Friday.
Yeah, the 18th is going to be a little rough for me because I'm going to be getting ready to head out of town. When are we? Although it would be better than the earlier days in the week. So, I mean, I would be, if we could do like an early release on the 18th, that would, you know, I'd be around for that.
Well, that would probably work then. I mean, at least, I mean, it works well across the time zones anyway, right? I mean, early for you is end of day for us, so.
Yeah.
The 18th, as far as I'm concerned, would suit me, but my holiday begins at the 19th. But this is Fedora. I might work on Fedora in the holidays, anyhow.
Let's see. Let me just quickly share. Okay. Yeah. The 18th would work for me. I mean, if we're absolutely set, there's, I think, you know, that doesn't give us any wiggle room if we go ahead and just plan for the 18th right now, but. I don't see a problem with pushing it out of, basically this is going to be about 2 weeks.
I mean, at this point, that sounds like the best option. I mean, with, you know, with our release manager tied up all of next week, more or less, and then all of the Duraspace folks out for the it sounds like at least the majority of the following week, except for the end of it, we just have to be committed to actually, you know, being ready.
Yeah.
Well, in advance.
Yep. Well, that gives us a little more wiggle room than we had before. I don't think for a lot of us that buys us that much more time, but certainly better than where we're at right now. So, yeah, I'd say we do it.
Okay.
Okay, well, let's do it on the 18th then.
So, yeah, does that, given the fact that we're buying ourselves some extra time, does that mean we should allocate all that time for testing? Because our availability is going to be so spotty, or should we buy ourselves an extra couple days before code freeze?
What would we do with these extra couple of days before code freeze?
Kick back, relax.
Document.
I mean, for me, that gives me some leeway on the Fezzle side of things. I mean, on the other hand, we were already kind of talking about that sort of being somewhat out of band anyway for the. But we were really considering the code freeze.
So it would give some time to like finish up the installer piece of it, and then that
right.
would make it so that the testing could be done a little, you know, without respect to pushing that at the very end of testing, just because it happens to not be done yet. So, you know, that would make the testing process a bit easier. I think on the Kai just mentioned documentation. I think, I mean, one of the big outstanding items is the REST API documentation that the inconsistency that Asger pointed out. So,
yes.
We could probably start on that, and then if it highlighted issues, we'd be that much more prepared to handle them. If it highlighted any code issues, we'd have a little breathing room to deal with those, as opposed to trying to rush things. So,
Those are good reasons or good things we could do, especially the documentation. It would be nice if the documentation were ready before we made the release. Those utility methods I wrote, if Fezzle gets into the code and gets working and everything is good, then I think we should consider if we can fit them in 3.3. But if Fezzle needs time to get to work, then there won't be time for that.
So,
right.
Eddie, I mean, you mentioned you could do the Mulgara stuff, like, basically by the end of today. And then the Fezzle installer stuff. I'm a little concerned about going into code freeze if those, Asger, if those new pieces aren't in there when we do. So, I mean, ideally, if, like, making sure they work with Fezzle, I mean, would require first that Fezzle is integrated and working. Well, I guess adding it to the installer isn't Oh, but you know, Eddie's got the diffs for his local changes to put into. So I don't know. I mean, I was kind of thinking, you know, we could maybe push code free to Friday this week instead of today or tomorrow. And that would, I don't know if that would give us a much better Eddie's of getting the Fezzel stuff finalized.
Yeah, I mean, my only hitch is I'm actually in Zurich right now, and I'm traveling all day to get back tomorrow on the train. So tomorrow's kind of a lost day for me. But yeah, so Friday would certainly help.
Okay, so I want to propose we go ahead and move code freeze to Friday, officially, and that means we don't have to start the testing stuff until then. That gives us time to work on the documentation, etc. But for Asker's modifications to the SOAP API, I feel like, you know, we could treat it as a distinct possibility if the if the Fezzel stuff is at a state where, you know, that's the last remaining thing to do. But if it's just hitting the wire, then it seems like it's not important enough to delay the entry to code freeze.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with that. Eddie, if you would throw me a mail or something when the Fezzel stuff is in far enough that I could try to merge my changes into, then I would be happy.
Okay.
And if there's no time for me to merge my changes in when you send me that mail, then they are not coming into 3.3.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So we have new code freeze is Friday the 4th, and new release date is Friday the 18th.
Okay. I'm going to announce that the new release date along with the code freeze then.
Okay. That's good. So the last part I wanted to make sure people had a chance to look at Kai's documentation and test plan that he's put together. Kai, do you want to talk about these a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I've set up this test and documentation plan. I've used a Confluence macro for this. It's called test plan. And I went through the release notes as they are now and tried to see what needs to be documented, what needs to be tested. And I listed these things out on two separate wiki pages, the test plan and the documentation plan. And so if you just open the test plan, that's the first one. I listed these issues that need to be tested according to their Jira issue number and according to their topic. So bugs, improvements, new features, and general system tests. Probably there, I went through this Mayo test plan from the last release, or Cinco de Mayo, I don't know. I tried to put together some of these, as I coined them, general system tests. So probably there are some operating systems missing. That's that. You can assign yourself to this by just putting your name on this, or And then the test passes, fails, or you can reset the test. If the test passes, then it's green. If it fails, then you can additionally put in a JIRA issue number. But don't have to. Just if it's connected to something else, it could be helpful. So yeah, that's the test plan. So, and if you find anything that you also feel needs to be tested, please put it in there. So that's the central document about everything that needs to be tested.
So let me just make sure I understand. Are we supposed to put our names in the leftmost column if we want to take that? Is that or somewhere else? I didn't quite...
Yeah, somewhere else. I think it's probably best to put them in the line that describes the issue. The other line isn't, the macro doesn't allow for users to assign themselves. It only shows when you press pass, and then it shows who pressed the button pass, but you can't assign yourself beforehand.
Okay.
So that's a shortcoming.
Can we... Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So we can just modify the title column, the center column, and stick our names on it. And then...
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. And you have to be logged in, obviously. So the documentation plan is really the same macro. I also went through the release notes and put together all of the issues that I thought need documentation. I went through the 3.3 documentation, and so if you find something, please put it in there. Yeah, I think that's that.
I'm looking at this. You mentioned the OS combinations, and I think that would be good to do. I wonder, should we create separate items for those, you think? For right now, we've got installation and integration tests with Oracle. In that particular case, I don't know. I guess in the past, what we've done is rather than try to hit every possible iteration, which can get a little out of hand, we just make sure we have coverage of the major OSs across the different items. So, for example, in Oracle, I've done that in the past. I've done it on Windows because it's easy to install Oracle on Windows. So that maybe in that example, I just add Windows to the description there just to make sure it's known that Windows is covered. And then,
yeah, right. There shouldn't be any difference between the Oracle on Linux and Oracle on Windows from the database standpoint.
And then we've done the different Java. So we make sure that Fedora works in Java 1.5 and also 1.6. And usually that testing is covered in the when we run the integration tests. We just, somebody says, "Oh, I'll do my testing in Linux with Java 1.5." And so similarly, I guess we would just add another line, like if we had one person doing Windows and another person doing Linux MySQL, we would just throw another line in there, the test plan. Right?
Yeah, sure. I only put these in because two of them, of the databases, were linked to issues that actually contain new code. And the other ones I just added. But, of course, that would be the better thing to do. Well, that each person picks operating system and tests some of the iterations of the combinations there. I'll put a few lines in.
Yeah, and this is Aaron. I'll also maybe add something to mention NPT store, because I typically, once I run through with Mulgara, I typically just configure for NPT store and just verify that all the tests still pass with it.
Yeah, thanks. I'll do that, yeah.
Well, it's really good that this has the flexibility to just enter what we want in the description, so we can add those details when we think of them.
Cool. So should we have a general sense of people's availability for a test plan, or should we do that later, Chris?
Maybe we could at least write down the people's availability for now, and just we talked about it a little bit before, but maybe just so we have a good sense of how much time people are going to be able to help with testing. So I guess I'll start. I plan on being quite available the remainder of this week to help out with testing. Probably end up trying to do some of my testing on Friday, and then finishing up the next week. And then the week after that, I'm not really going to be available very much at all. So probably be doing late this week and early next week. And I've got enough time to do quite a bit. So that's my general sense.
This is Ben. I should be able to find time to do some testing this week as well. In particular, I think I have a kind of ethical obligation to work on testing for a couple of these issues that I'm more or less directly affiliated with.
So, yeah, this is Aaron. So I'll have a little bit of time this week and actually the earlier part of next week in clumps in order to do, the various, testing with under Linux with NPT store and stuff. And I think I might be making a few additional little commits this week, because I see something in the tests right now that need to be fixed in order for it to work with NPT store and stuff. So I'll basically be around and somewhat available for the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Asker?
Yeah, for testing, I won't be that much available for anything. I won't be that much available this week. I'll be at the EU meeting next week. After that, I might be able to perform some work. That would be from Monday the 14th and onwards. There's nothing that's really taking my time from there.
So the last week before the release?
Yeah, that will be where I'm primarily able to do work.
Okay.
Can I interject with a question real fast? All of the stuff. If there's some of this testing needs to be supported by a new unit test, is that something we want to make sure gets done this week before code freeze?
Oh.
I think so. I mean, if there's something where we don't have coverage yet on it, ideally we get that code done before. I mean, I hadn't imagined we would be writing any extra tests during the code freeze process.
Yeah, I guess another way for me to say that would just have been to say we're not expecting to have to implement any unit tests for any of these. Everything should be covered.
Yeah. I mean, I can't guarantee coverage, but, you know, I think as things have been going in, I've been making an effort to make sure they're covered in the unit or integration test in some way. By testing them on the test plan, I'm assuming, you know, the tests are, you know, just running the tests are going to provide that coverage. But if you choose specific tests, I think that involves some spot checking, right?
Yes, I'm sure. I guess sometimes it's difficult to test without having a unit test or having to write a unit test. But I guess in most cases it should be possible to see or test by hand.
Yeah, I think it makes sense just to make a little note in the description. If you do test it and it isn't covered by a unit test or system test of some sort, you know, just so it's, known that it was just a manual test, and, you know, maybe that could be addressed at some point in the future. But
yeah.
So are we actually, I wasn't quite getting the gist of the question, but if after code freeze, someone is doing testing of something they signed up for and they wish that they could add a unit test or, you know, modify an existing unit test or whatever. Are we opposed? Are we saying that because code freeze has happened that they shouldn't be?
I think we should allow that personally.
Okay. I was going to say, because I think in the past we have been okay with just mucking with test classes. So
yeah, I think coverage doesn't exist and you notice it during testing, then, you know, by all means. I was just saying, you know, we're not intending to be writing a bunch of tests after code free starts. It's, you know, the job at that point is to make sure the functionality is correct. And if writing tests is the morally correct way to do that, then let's fill in stuff where it doesn't exist. But ideally,
it might be a good. I'm sorry, I jumped in too fast. It also, if something a failure is detected, fixing it after code freeze is legal too. I just wanted to point that out.
So is removing the test case that's failing. I heard.
Remind me of them someday.
That's an extra. That's a special ninja move we have.
Okay, going on with the availability. Bill, are you in the call?
Yeah, I am. So I'll be available for a few hours here and there this week and next week as needed. I can't dedicate a huge amount of time, but if there's something particularly on the Windows side that I can help with, just let me know.
Okay, thanks. Dan?
Yeah, same thing. A few hours here and there. I will regression test the old GUI interface, which kind of has no unit or system tests on it. On the web app, are the admin interface bill, there are no tests on it either.
No, there's not. Yeah, so I certainly wouldn't mind going through the web admin and testing that out.
So, Dan, you're intending to test the Swing?
Do regression tests on the Swing.
Okay.
Interface and some other random testing. But I'll also go and help on some of the documentation and also trying to correct some of these infrastructure problems, I guess, that have popped up for the release. So anything having to do with the docs and the wiki and stuff like that, I'm on call to help, or I'll work in the docs where I can.
Okay, thanks. Dan and Bill, could you add those things to the testing and documentation plans as you go through them? That would be great.
Yes.
Sure.
Thanks. So, Eddie, I guess you're pretty busy with the rest of the Fezzle integration.
Yeah, so I don't think I'll have time to do any testing before Friday. And then the following week, I'll probably have about a day's worth of time spread out next week, sort of around the, probably closer to the end of the week after the conference. And then the week of the 14th, I'll have just generally more availability to do testing as needed.
Okay. Andrew?
Yeah. It doesn't look like I have too much availability, unfortunately. If there are gaps in terms of, you know, sort of the sanity testing on Linux environment, I can go through, you know, just sort of the basic integration stuff, but I imagine it's a fairly common environment. But yeah, I mean, I'll keep my eyes open for the gaps, but I unfortunately don't anticipate very much availability.
Okay, thanks. So I'll be available besides next week, the coming week. I'll be available, pretty much all of the remaining time.
Kai, on the documentation, it would be helpful if people who are most closely associated with that gets the facts correct in the documentation. And then if they want me to come in behind them and clean up the look and feel, I can do that.
Okay. So, perhaps it would be best if all of you just pick what you like to test. Obviously not if you have written the thing yourself. So, and the things that are not assigned Chris and I can go through the list and maybe find how it could be done. So just go on the page and put your names in as you like. So I guess that's about the testing and documentation. There is one thing I'd like to add about the release, about the Maven release. I've included a PGP plugin so that all the released artifacts are going to be signed for each release. Are there any objections, or does the group think about that? Should we do it? Shouldn't we?
Oh, I think that's great. I think the only issue with sorting out sort of administrative around how to handle the keys and whatever, but I think just as a feature to have for our releases, that's something that's been missing. So,
yeah, sure. The problem is that everyone needs to have a PGP key, and we need to publish the public keys and along with the fingerprints on the somewhere in the wiki, along with the email address.
So I assume with that, Kai, that they'll be putting together what's needed to point it out in the release process document.
Sorry, Chris, I didn't get that.
Oh, I was just saying there's a... At some point when you do a build for release purposes, you point it at your key, right? So there's some step that you have to follow. I was just thinking you're planning on writing up what that step is in the release process document.
Right? Yeah, sure. It's pretty easy, at least for OS X and Linux. You have to have GNU PG installed, and the Maven plugin just finds it. I don't know for Windows, but I'll document that as well, of course.
And then I guess for people to verify the authenticity, we need to publish the key, our keys somewhere, at least anybody who does a release. But ideally, we just have developers just all have keys, so we don't have to worry about it. Did you have any recommendations for where we put those, maybe on the wiki?
So there's a page that lists all the active developers somewhere along with the email address and the organization. Maybe we put it there?
Yeah, we put it there, and we should just publish to one of the keyring servers. I always used to use MIT's, but whichever.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Okay, I'll write something up.
Cool.
Okay. Then the last thing is that I've created a release profile for Fedora. It's not yet using the Maven plugin, release plugin, but it creates all the artifacts without the plugin. So we need to tag the code manually as it is now. And that's because there are several problems with the release plugin that make things much more complicated right now. And we need to refactor some things, and the release plugin has to be the people have to in charge for this release plugin have to fix some bugs that we would need to work around. And I guess we should rather use it for the next version. That's my impression, at least. So therefore, I created this profile that's creating all the necessary artifacts, and it signs them and creates checksums. And then we have to manually, or I have to manually upload them. All right, that's from me so far.
Okay. Kai, you had sent out a question to the developers, too, about the naming of those files for release purposes. I wondered if anybody had any responses to that. This was the choice for the downloadable artifacts we put on SourceForge. It was the choice of whether to use the file names as produced by Maven, or in a couple cases, the file name produced by Maven is a little strange, or it's not really very human readable. So one alternative is to just rename those to something a bit easier to read for the purpose of distribution.
Yeah, well, the weird name for the messaging client needs to be simplified. But whether it's client FC repo client messaging or FC repo messaging client, I have no opinion on.
Does that change our signed artifact? I mean, yeah. It's going to change the, well, I don't know. Does it change checksums, and does it change things first?
Well,
we're signing things?
I don't know, but I don't know if the algorithm takes into account the file name. I guess I assumed it was more like a checksum where it was just based on the content.
Yeah.
I guess if we were going to make any choice of the convention over configuration, Kai's message said what the convention was, and I believe it would be FC repo client messaging and FC repo client admin.
Server RMI journal, the second one.
Yeah, server RMI journal.
Yeah, it's basically the artifact name without the classifier.
Yeah. I'm just trying to help break the tie. I really don't care, but myself, but you're calling for a vote, so.
No, it's not a formal vote. It's just opinions, because I had a conversation with Chris, and we couldn't really decide on what to use, so.
Darn it, I usually just ask Chris, decide.
No, I don't do that. No.
Okay, Chris, decide.
Okay, let's use the artifact IDs without the appendix or whatever. I mean, it sounds like that, as Dan pointed out, it's kind of convention over configuration sensibility. I think as long as it's vaguely human readable and fairly short, I don't think it matters that it's client messaging or messaging client, but it's easier to do client messaging because that's the artifact ID. So let's do the easy way.
Okay. Thanks.
All right, well, we seem to be really good at doing these meetings for about an hour and a half, I've noticed. So I think we have the pretty significant decision on moving Code Freeze to Friday and release 2 weeks from that. And I can't think of anything else to mention today? Does anybody have any last minute items you want to get opinions on, or shall we close up? Okay. Well, thanks a lot, everybody.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye all.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.